Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox. We will find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to another week of Chatterbox Video Game Radio, everyone. My name's Alon.
And my name's The Aura.
And my name is The Rich.
Alright, so moving right along.
No, I'm The Aura.
I'm The Rich.
You can't be a The, too, if I'm a
I'm
The.
I'm A Richard.
Every there week we do a video game radio show here about the video game industry. If you want to learn more about the show, go over to chatterboxgameshow.com or chatterboxers.com if you're lazy. You can also call into the show at 866-536-1100. And of course, we've got Rich on the computer manning the live chat room. Is that right, Rich?
It's insane right now. There's like...
There's like 100 people
there's
in there?
There's at least 100 people.
At least 2,000 million people?
50 lines per second. You can't even read it all. So if you're typing in the chat, I'm not reading it.
Yeah, that's certainly the truth, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, in the past, we've talked about a subject that I find really interesting.
Really?
What drives people to play games, right? And so there's a bunch of different elements that you would think give someone a reason to play a game, right? Like you've got nothing else to do, or you like fancy graphics, or you want to play with your friends, right?
Or, you know, a surrogate for your inability to dominate the world.
That's another fine reason.
Yes.
So we've looked at basically social gaming in the past, which is where you're playing, but instead of playing a one player game, now you're playing on Xbox Live and you're playing with your friends, and so you meet new people online, and perhaps these are drivers to continue playing games. And I know that I've talked in the past too about, like, my roommate's a fine example where he'll actually keep in touch with his brother and other friends from back home that he doesn't get to actually see in person anymore.
Yeah, through his PS3, which just doesn't make sense.
More through his Xbox, but yeah.
No, his brother sold his 360.
Well, the
so
brother.
So they only have a PS3 anymore.
Well, yeah, but he plays with plenty of other people.
Yeah, but I'm saying
people.
The example of the brother
is
not a good one.
It's an unfortunate
Continue.
Reality. I didn't need to remind everyone of that.
Rich is sassy tonight.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's a lot of interesting features, I guess, or opportunity that has become available in the last few years when... networked gaming has really come to fruition, because years ago, like, the Dreamcast came with the modem and stuff like that, but it never really happened,
yes.
Right?
Some of which are cool, others of which are incredibly bothersome.
Well, you're not a big fan of, like, GamerScore, right?
Well, I have my opinions. Yes.
We've talked about GamerScore in the past and how you don't like it.
Yeah, well, I don't like it in general. I do like that you can kind of, like, compare how you do in one game. Like, that's cool, right? But... as I've said before, if your gamer score is like 90,000, it doesn't mean that you're awesome really at any game. It just means that you've played more games than anyone else.
Essentially.
So I don't know what kind of bragging right that is in the aggregate.
Like, if you have specific achievements on a specific game, like, they're hard to get. But
and you know what else pisses me off? These ridiculous achievements. Like, some are okay, right?
Uh-huh.
These insano achievements. Like, on Ace Combat 6, there's one about, like, just use the machine gun. And I was like, oh, I'm going to try to get this one. All I have to do is just use the machine gun only in one mission. No! You have to use the machine gun only through the whole game.
What?
6 hours of machine gunning from your cockpit.
Maybe?
It's insane. I'm like...
You get like 10 points for it, don't you?
You probably get like 10 points. So I'm just like, no, I'm not going to do that.
See, that's the thing that's like... The bad part of it, like,
it's completely unstandardized.
Somebody can see that.
There's no way it can
be
standardized.
That guy got that achievement. That's hardcore. But at the same time, like, you could just play Airbender, whatever, and get 1,000 points in literally 2.5 minutes.
Yes, that's the main problem
I
have.
I do like how it's sort of given us an easy to gauge measurement of someone's nerdiness, right? Like, where you can say
that's what it is. That's a great way to put it.
Gamer score.
Yeah.
They're clearly a Class A nerd.
It's a nerdiness score.
And beats out even myself.
Isn't that what Cheapy calls it? He calls it nerd points or something? He doesn't call them gamer points.
I'm not so familiar
I'm
with
pretty sure he calls
his vernacular,
nerd points.
But okay.
I think, if I remember correctly.
That's I'm so happy you said that, because that's the most eloquent way to put it that I've ever heard.
That's essentially it. But still, I do, like you, I appreciate that you can compare game for game with your particular group of friends.
Yeah, you can see, like, you know, this guy's got the high score. Like, I got to level 6. This guy only got to level 2. Like, okay, that's cool.
But the argument could be made that the opportunity made available through network gaming has also basically brought people more social networking, right? Makes them give them the opportunity to meet friends they wouldn't normally meet, right?
Or maybe replace a certain class of friends with another less touchable class.
Maybe. But
maybe.
So the reason I bring it up, right, is because today, after the break, we're going to bring on a guest, Barry Dorff, who's one of the original founders of GameStrata. I think they have a website, GameStrata.com, right? We were on that earlier.
Yeah, I was clicking buttons on it.
All right. So this is basically a utility for people to use and play their PC games and sort of merge. I don't know if it really merges with a single score, like Xbox Live achievement points.
Doesn't look like it.
But it seems to compare individual games with lots of other people. And so they've built this tool, this website, to kind of do what Xbox Live does. But, you know, it's harder because I don't think they have control over all the different games.
And it's full of girls.
Yeah, well, they do have a lot of advertising, but
that's advertising? I thought these girls were trying to talk to me. I'm like, wow, I must be so smooth. Every page I click on, there's this girl trying to talk to me.
That is one thing we learned by going to their website, that women tend to be very flirtatious and only use Macintosh laptops. But listen, I don't know if they decide what ads go on their website, but regardless, right?
Maybe we'll find out.
There's a purpose to the website, and so I've often brought up, like, what drives people to play games, and do you think that comparing to friends or the social aspect of gaming brings you more reason to play? And more importantly, does it give you reason to continue playing, right? Because all right, so back in the day when we were youngsters, just little shorties.
Lads.
Yeah.
Not lasses.
not lasses.
That's right.
So when we were younger, like just born in the 70s and the early 80s, games, which were predominantly in arcades, basically all based on high score. There weren't a lot of different levels. You play Pac-Man level after level after level. You just want a higher score, right?
I would say really like up through the 80s and maybe in the beginning of the 90s, like games were pretty much almost universally regarded as skill games, right? And now, like now, not so much. Now, if you call a game like a skill game, it's like, oh, you're hardcore. You're like a minority.
If you say skill game to me, I specifically think you're talking about the claw game.
No. That's a very great misnomer, because the claw game, as everyone knows, is an anti-skill game.
I think there's skill in the claw game.
I've never gotten a claw.
There's no skill. It's a matter of randomization of how many times, how often it's actually like set to be able to actually grab a thing without dropping it. And that one out of 20 times, you actually hit it correctly so that it's actually able to grab it when it wants to try to grab a thing. It's really just... it's random.
Has anyone won a toy from that? I mean,
I have.
Oh yeah, people
have
all the time. It's fixed.
I was at a roller rink, right?
And I mean, without shooting the machine with a pistol.
So I was playing a lot, and then I got some crappy toy out of it. And so, like, some guy came along, and I just sold him the toy for the quarter that it cost me to get it.
You got it on your first try?
No. Oh. I was playing a lot. I was a dumb kid. Apparently.
Yeah, you played a lot. You played it like 20 times. So on that 20th time, when the game is set to go, okay, I can pick something up this time instead of let it drop, you actually aimed it correct, so it actually picks something up.
I've not heard this story of yours.
Okay, anyway, that's not a real skill game.
That's a fact. I mean, that's just how those games are made. They're made to make money, not lose them.
Old school video games are a real skill game.
Yeah, that is most of them. That is my point, that old school games had a high score, right? And then games evolved a bit to the point that now some games don't have score at all. We just play for the adventure or whatever happens in the game, right?
Right.
The storyline or whatnot. And now we seem to be driving back into this idea of keeping a score, although it's a single score.
Right.
Individual games are scored, but the achievement points offered to you in Xbox Live.
Right. That's really interesting, because we have like kind of like a resurgence of this, but now like thinking back to what it was like back in the day, it seems like one of the things we're missing is like that social aspect of, okay, I'm going to watch some guy do something else and learn from him. Like, we still don't have that, which was actually a really cool part, a real cool social part of
the old school game. You mean like when you go to an arcade and watch
him? Yeah, and like watch this master and then you learn from him. Like, not so much of that even
now. They're starting to do that now.
That's starting to come back.
With Command & Conquer, you can play like Call of Duty TV or whatever.
Yeah, maybe with the videos. Maybe with the videos.
It happens. Anyway, we'll be back. We'll have Barry Dorff from GameStrata on Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. I am the one who's henceforth known as the Aura.
Yeah, I'm Alon.
I really effed that up.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
And I am the Rich.
El Rich!
Before we start the second segment and bring Barry on, I have to remind everyone about our wonderful sponsor, UAT. That's the University of Advancing Technology. You can go to their website at uat.edu to learn more about the wonderful degrees that you can get at UAT.
Apparently everybody talks during the break when I'm not on the IRC, because like I'm clicking buttons on the internet, and then I go back when the show comes back on, and there's actually like 30 lines of text that I missed.
Yeah, that's why you're L Rich and not
so
Rich.
Guys, don't talk unless it's during the show.
Yeah, that's
good. The new rule.
So let's bring on Barry. Barry Dorf is from GameStrata. Again, that's GameStrata.com, STRATA, and this is sort of a tool that helps you track what you and your friends, or people who are not your friends, are doing in certain games, as long as they've signed up.
And apparently if you're cheating, too.
Yeah, well, actually, some of the stats we had some concern about. Barry, do we have you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Fantastic. So we've got a lot of questions for you. One of the things that we were talking about in the first segment, I don't know if you were able to hear the first part of the show, we've talked a lot about what drives people to play games in general, right? We talk a lot about fun factor of games and things that differentiate different groups of players, right? The nerds and the jocks and the whoever and what brings people to play a lot of games.
Crack-like qualities.
Or any games at all. And I assume that you've studied that sort of thing in determining how you were going to set up GameStrata. Am I right about that?
Absolutely, yes.
So tell me a little bit about the sort of research that you had to do in order to develop GameStrata. And let's start out by you giving me your explanation of what GameStrata is before we skip past that.
Well, you guys are pretty close. I mean, we consider ourselves a social network for gamers. So Facebook or MySpace for gamers, a place for gamers to go and get information about games, get help on games, find people to game with. And we also track statistics for certain games online. So that's kind of the basis of GameStrata, but I'll kind of go right into your question and what you're talking about. But, you know, I would say games have changed in the past, you know, 3 to 5 years with the online consoles. And, you know, when you were playing games before you were playing online, it was very much a single-player experience. You know, if you were playing Diablo, it was a lot about, you know, leveling your character up and getting involved with inside the story of the game. And your interaction with your friends was really about, hey, I'm a level 30 wizard, or, you know, I'm this or I'm that, or I've completed 6 seasons in Madden. But games have really switched. They've really gone to this online environment where you can play online in World of Warcraft or Call of Duty with your buddies, and games have become much more social. And that's where I think the web has changed the way we think about gaming and games. I guess I'll keep going.
No. I just see Ara writing down on his notepad here things he's going to want to ask after that. Now, when I go to your website, I see that there's four games listed right off the bat that I don't know if it's four games that you're following right now or just four games that are featured on the front of the website. Are there certain games that you select to track simply because those stats are made available by the people who run those game servers, or is there another reason that you featured certain games on the front of the site?
That's a great question. We will not go out and scrape data. That's what we don't want to do. Is I feel that since games have become online and they've become deeper, like I've talked about, statistics haven't really evolved the way they should. So that's the other part of GameStrata. But you can't get a fair sense of where you rank across the game if you're scraping just certain amounts of data. You really need the entire subset of stats and information to really know where you stand as a gamer or inside that game or amongst your friends. So we go out and actually make deals with publishers. We actually go out and have a deal with Capcom and Sega and EA and Activision to pull in the data for the games that we support. We will support games that have the data, the full sets of data available without a publisher deal, mm-hmm. but those games on the website are games that we have deals for.
Okay. That's
So that's how you get the data, is you actually say, hey guys, can we put this code in your game to give us this data?
Yeah, either that or we're pulling code from... So we're pulling code sometimes from Microsoft for some of the games, from Xbox Live. Some games it's an XML feed, but right, it's official data feeds from the games themselves.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of logged data, Ara.
Yeah,
it's just
right.
easily transferred.
I just thought of something that was really interesting, and this might be kind of tangentially related, but I'm just curious about what everybody thinks. Basically, like, okay, like, with regards to things like high score, right? The way Xbox Live does their high scores, like, that's, like, really, like, the main metric that you use to compare your skill against other people, right?
Are you talking about the gamer score?
No. Just, like, a high score of game X, right?
Okay.
Like, my score is 200,000, right? And so one thing that I've noticed just as, like, a player is that, like, okay, well, I'll go look at the world records, right? And that's almost completely useless to me because I'm... score, you know, 4,305, right? If I'm really, really good at the game, maybe, like, I'm at, like, 2,000 or 1,000.
It's pretty sweet.
But there's, like, no hope that I'd ever get up near the top. So, like, that's useless, right? And then, like, Xbox lets me look at my friends list, right? And
yeah.
If I look at my friends list of scores, like, that data sample is usually so small that, like, I don't care about that either.
Is that just a result of you not having any friends?
I have, according to Xbox Live, I have at least 10 friends, but they don't play the same games I do.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you only have a small set of friends, you can't really complain that they don't provide you with a large pool of data.
No, see, it's not the user's fault. But then I just had this idea, right? Like, what if there was a way that we could actually see something where the player could get, like, a larger set of data that isn't the world, so it's useless, and isn't your friends because they don't play the same games as you do.
Like regional?
Yeah!
No, that's called game strata. But no, I completely agree with you, but I'll even take it a step further from you and say, when you're playing a game, let's say take Battlefield, which is a game that we support. What I used to do inside Battlefield was capture flags, and I did that better than I thought anyone else in the game. And I used to think that was the idea, you know, capture the flag. But it was at the end of the game, my score was always in the middle. It was never at the top. It was never at the bottom. I was always in the middle. And I always got crazed by that because I'm a baseball fan, and Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens do very different things inside the game. Why should they, at the end of the game, they be ranked together? So I wanted to separate out what you did inside the game to give it a relevant measure of performance. So are you the best sniper or medic, or if you're playing Madden, are you the best with the Raiders or the best run defense with the Eagles, or, you know, to really give you a relevant measure of what you do in the game and how well you do it.
And so you guys have managed to actually implement that into your tracking?
Yeah, so you can actually set your profiles to track, you know, kind of how you want to display statistics, and then you can we do graphs, so you can actually graph your stats over time. And we let you pick what stat you want to graph over time and how long you want to track it for.
So what I'm curious about, aside from individual games and the tracking that we were just discussing, is let's say you've got, you know, said user who decides that he is interested in your service and he's been using it for quite a while. Is there any way that you can tell you've actually, like, have you seen trends of people playing a particular game or playing a group of games more than they were, you know, prior or at maybe at the beginning of using your service? My point being, has the tracking and the social comparison that they have available to them now driven them to play games more?
Yes, definitely. I mean, we've only been live since basically the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't actually been live for that long, but we do track. If you give us your gamer tag, we are tracking your usage on Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
So we can track the entire site time, and we've actually just implemented something where the entire user's time and what game they're playing is tracked on our site. So you could see last weekend, I think 30.4% of all GameStrata users were playing GTA. And we see those numbers and trends go up and down depending on whether we have a GameStrata game night or a contest or something like that. That's why, you know, publishers are willing to give us the data, because we're driving people back to play the game.
And that's one of the things that I find most interesting is basically affecting people's psychology and getting them to either play more or play less or switch games or play with a certain group of people more often, things like that, and certainly how it affects your relationship with the publisher as well, because, I mean, that's another element of the industry. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we'll talk about the video game industry, and certainly revenue streams are important to that, and marketing aspects that come from the companies who decide to market in certain ways. So I want to talk more about this when we get back. Hold tight, and we'll be back after the break.
Mario, you're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
All right. Seriously?
What?
We are back. Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
My name's Dara.
My name's The Rich.
I think that your prefix should be
coughing
revoked.
Rich. Did it's you seriously of, just cough right into the microphone when we were starting?
It's not like a coughing pit.
All right, let's cut it. Let's bring Barry back on. Barry, are you there?
I'm still here.
Barry,
fantastic.
All right.
Yeah. Sorry about that horrible intro there. Don't forget, everyone, head over to chatterboxgameshow.com and join in our live chat. Rich will keep you entertained and tell us if anything interesting should be brought to our guest.
About that.
So we were talking about GameStrata and, in general, social networking and gaming, and then I became sort of interested in the way that the companies who develop these games decide to interact with you, Barry, to put their material into your tool to help drive their customers to continue playing. And I don't know if you've been able to actually get this information and present it to them. Like, do you go to them and say, okay, well, we can see that players are playing more now, and you can use this data to help market to your players in some way? Like, is there any sort of interaction you have with the developers or publishers to help them with their marketing?
It varies by publisher. Definitely on some of the publishers that don't have as much community, like a Sega, which doesn't really have community for each of the games, so we worked with them on the club. It was really great interaction because we were actually their proxy with Microsoft, and were able to tell them what maps the users are using most, what weapons the users are using most, how much time the users are spending online, what areas they're in, that sort of thing. It was incredibly valuable information for the publisher that they were super interested in getting, where a company like Activision doesn't necessarily care as much about what we're doing with the stuff, with the Guitar Hero stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got that game pretty wired, and they have a lot of community around their stuff. So it did depend on the publisher.
And now, on your site, aside from individual game tracking, you've also got a lot of material where people are just trying to interact with each other through your website, which is, I think, why you were saying it's sort of like the MySpace or the Facebook of gaming, right? Is that an area that you're working to expand? Or, I mean, your website at this point is now just sort of like a stream of consciousness of different people talking.
Right. It's really interesting. Is we didn't know what the users were going to like when we first built the site. Now, we thought it was around statistics, which we definitely still think statistics plays a huge part in what we're doing. But we found people have gravitated towards finding people to game with that, you know, because on Xbox Live now, you have a lot of punks that are on there swearing and pulling the plug if they're about to lose, and it's getting really frustrating. But we've created an environment where people are comfortable in, mm-hmm. and they're able to find people to game with, where they know the people, so they're still going to talk smack, but they're not going to swear, they're not going to get angry, they're not going to curse. They're going to have a pleasant playing environment, and then they're going to come back on GameStrata and talk about it. And that's the key is to be an extension for the games, right? We want to get people gaming. We want to get people to enjoy their experience. We want them to get their dollar they spend on this game to go and last longer.
So you're trying to convince me that GameStrata has become a tool to help people enhance their gaming experience outside of GameStrata?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a thing called GameStrata Game Nights that we never started. The community started it themselves, where they would come on and pick a game that they'd go on at. You know, we're going to do Call of Duty game night at Friday at 8 o'clock on 360. And here's the, you know, the URL or the name, the gamer tag name that you have to have added to your list, and then you'll get an invite. And we're drawing huge traffic with that stuff. And those game nights go for 2 and 3 hours long, and people just come back and talk about how great an experience it was. And it was never anything that was intended to have happen on GameStrata. It's just something that we've seen occur, and we love that. So now we're encouraging it, and we're actually building tools to help users in that experience.
I like that a lot. And I know Xbox tries to do that as well with, like, celebrity game nights or play this game and eventually you might end up playing with whatever celebrity they have chosen. I don't know if you guys have done that, but
I know what you're talking about.
They're trying to drive community gaming as well, which I don't know if it results
in... Frag dolls?
Well, have they done that too? Or?
I heard about some frag dolls. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really like any opportunity to meet people and play games without having to worry that you're going to get those tools playing with you that kind of ruin it for everybody else.
The thing that kind of makes it more difficult on 360 or... I don't know about PS3 as much, but on that kind of end, it's like it's hard to be able to organize things with a larger group of people because you have to add gamer tags, and then you get people in the group, and then there's a limited number of people, and then somebody gets dropped. Where PC, you can just be like, okay, connect to the server, and then you can connect, and then you're in the game. But it's not that easy on the 360, so it can be a lot harder.
It's not easy, but they're doing it. They're doing it with 50 to 100 people, and it's been fantastic. I mean, we've had community leaders inside our group take the charge and add 100 gamer tags to this group. I mean, it takes a lot of time. Believe me, I don't have the time to do it. Thank God they do.
You could develop a bulk import tool, sir.
All right, I want to switch gears a little bit. There's something I'm curious about. So let's say that, like, I don't know, like, let's say I love to play Mr. Driller on Xbox Live Arcade or whatever, right? What does your service offer in terms of, like, stat tracking that I can't get from just the Xbox UI interface?
Well, if it's a game that we're not supporting, we can really only track achievements and gamer score points that you've gotten, kind of achievement points out of that game. We can't track super specific stuff inside a game like that we're not actually supporting. But that doesn't mean you can't get the achievements and the scores and the top level stuff inside a game like that. So we also are tracking all the achievements inside Xbox Live because we're an official Xbox developer. So you can come on and track every game that you're playing on Xbox Live from that level.
Now, Xbox actually provides that, I think, to anybody, with or without GameStrata, right, with your gamer card. But are there specific games that you support that are on Xbox so that you could have more than just top level data?
Well, the ones that we support on the site, like The Club, Lost Planet, Universe of War, those are all games that we support.
See, I just assumed that was all for the PC versions of those games.
No. Those are 360.
Okay.
Oh.
And Guitar Hero.
Right on.
People still play Guitar Hero?
I thought that was on PC too, man.
All right. Yeah. I got one more thing.
We're supporting all the platforms. We are platform agnostic.
All right. Do you have PS2 games?
We let you pick PS2 games that you're playing, but obviously there's no stat tracking.
Yeah.
All right, so one thing that really caught my attention was this answers section on your website.
Isn't it great?
Which, like, really to me, it was like, wow, this is like Urban Dictionary for games.
Don't get too excited, Barry. I think there's good and bad.
But, but one thing that I was curious about is that, like, I mean, at first I was like, oh, this is cool. Some people can, like, ask a question and get a factual answer. But then when I look at it, it looks like a lot of them are like, you know, what's the smelliest cheese you've eaten or something? And, you know, what do you care about, like, proliferation of, like, garbage questions? Or, like, a lot of them just seem to be, like, really, like, I'm just putting in data just because, like, I don't know, I want to, like, I don't know, say something funny or whatever.
Yeah, we found that we have something on the site called GamerQ Points. So people were just going on there and answering questions or asking questions just to get points to move up the rankings on GameStrata's leaderboard itself.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that?
Yeah, so that, you know, we didn't think it would be as popular as it's been. So we've actually built a lot of community tools to let them police it. So if you go in there and you see the questions around, we have a report abuse button for each question, and the thumbs up and thumbs down for each answer. And if there's enough report abuse buttons clicked by the community, the question goes away. And if there's enough thumbs down by the community with answers, your answer goes away and you get no points for it.
See, this,
sweet.
the fact that anyone is even interested in a leaderboard about questions that
yeah,
they have.
No, that's funny. Anybody it's goes like, out of their way to post stupid questions to try to get points.
It's almost like once you assign points to something, there's always going to be a population of people to try to maximize that,
yeah,
no matter how stupid it is.
Just to try to...
I guess in their constant quest to be internet famous, there's their desire to be at the top of some list.
I guess. I mean, I was just like, I mean, maybe if I was a kid, like, I'm just trying to, like, find a way to relate to that. I was like, when I was little, like, maybe I would have cared about that, but now I'm just like, wow, it just, I don't know, it just seems so useless to me in my old age.
I have an interesting solution to this, Barry. Instead of just showing, instead of just looking or listing people at the top, how about listing people specifically in the middle or at the median? And then people specifically at the bottom. So you can aim to be on a list by being extremely bad as well as being extremely good. And that will enable people to say, well, I won't have to just cheat the system and I can still be on a list if I can only achieve poorness.
If you have like,
better
like
than anybody else.
The most middle player or like the most middle person on the site.
Yeah. All right. Well, I don't want to bring Barry on in the next segment simply to say goodbye. So I'm going to thank you right now, Barry. Thank you for being on the show. I appreciate your
time.
Thank
you for having me.
You're very welcome. Everyone should visit GameStrata.com if you want to learn more about what they're doing. And we'll finish up the show with the last segment as soon as we come back from break.
Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is The Aura.
I'm Alon.
And I'm still The Rich.
I really like your intros.
This utter insolence. Yeah. How am I supposed to deal with this?
You can tell when we're on segment two and segment four,
yes,
when you intro, and it's just, it's a different style.
And
it's got your
back
flavor.
All right, conversation. And then I interrupt Aura by getting him mad. And
then I interrupt you two by reminding everyone to visit uat.edu. Our sponsor, the University of Advanced Technology.
It always helps to take an upper or two before the show starts.
Are we
going
to try to do this entire fourth segment?
No, no. During the break, we were talking about... Ara reminded us that he had sort of had this desire to have a regional breakdown of games in something. And I didn't mean so much to have Barry on so that we could just talk about GameStrata, but it's just obviously that's what he worked to produce.
But
so
you prefer to break down groups by whether they like chocolate or not.
Well, that was my example.
Or like,
because I was thinking
how they like their eggs cooked.
If you're playing, yes, a fine example as well.
Yes, I'm number one in Halo 3 for people who like Sunny Side Up.
Well, you were saying regional breakdown, and I'm thinking if I'm sitting in front of my Xbox, I don't care if the person's in Kansas or in Phoenix or in the Philippines, like.
But I care.
Why would there be a difference? But then you brought
up... Because I can drive there.
Well, you brought up the idea of regional stats for the reason that you could then actually meet the person and either practice with them to be in a clan to get better.
You know, surreptitiously discover their address and go there to
or
a
at
AM
least
and surprise
message
them.
Message them and try to get it, you know...
Or do something less
stalker-like,
you know? Sure, okay, yeah.
But I'm saying, like, you could be like, okay, this guy's better than me by one rank, and I'm gonna message him and be like, okay, I'm gonna kill you in Halo, and then you do, and then you're like, haha.
Well, yeah, but why do you need to be physically close to that person?
I'm just saying it's not that you have to be close to that person physically, but it's just another way to break it down so you're not like, okay, there's 7,000 people that are better than me.
Let me
message
explain it
one
way.
Random person, but it's like, hey, this guy is within 40 miles of me and he's on this list, so I'm gonna try to beat him.
Check this out. As an individual, when I'm like communicating or in some kind of virtual contact with a person who's unreachable physically by me, I just care a lot less.
Mm-hmm.
Like that person.
Is that because conceivably you might not accidentally end up in a, you know, in a Kmart next to this person?
Well, there's no way I could possibly ever meet them unless there's some kind of weird happenstance, right? So I'm just like, this person is not actually real to me. They're just like, I mean, it's just some guy in, you know,
you can communicate
Nottingham
with that person just as effectively as you could communicate with someone you don't know who lives down the street from you, though.
Right, but if you know that they live down the street, then you could get to know them. And what I'm just saying is that the potential of establishing a real personal relationship in person is like a million times higher for me in terms of attractiveness than some guy, you know, in whatever.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. Like, that's where it becomes valuable. So then, do we think that breaking it down by region is really of the most value? Because are we really going to want to meet people in person when we meet them online?
Possibly.
And I think that's true. You will. There'll be a certain number who will, especially if you have some sort of local competition.
Yeah.
Where you meet, like, a lot of bars have video game competitions now and whatever.
Right. Unless they continuously email and idolize me, and then there's a lot of value in that type of relationship.
That would be weird because you'd invite them on the show, and I know that would get strange for us. But other than that, other than regional, like, I can't imagine any sort of breakdown that'd be interesting except for
height.
Some sort of something to establish a physical relationship with a person, where what I mean is, like, I'm in a certain age bracket,
right,
or I'm
right,
of a
right.
certain type, right?
Right.
Where
yeah.
I'm male with an interest in racing, right? So racing game enthusiasts.
Soon,
right?
My guess would be if you're 40 and play games, you don't want to play with a bunch of 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And
or,
so it might be of interest to be like, okay,
do.
I want to play with people that aren't 12.
It's funny you say that because my roommate's like 40 and he talks about playing games with young kids. Like,
yeah.
When we play online.
Yeah. Some of them are really good, though.
They will kick your ass.
Some of them are really good.
This could be so wrong.
No, I was in you know, stupid video game competitions when I was younger, like the Blockbuster, whatever, 1996 competition or something. I don't remember when. And it was funny because it was broken up into two parts, like 12 and under and 13 and older.
Uh-huh.
And so I won for my age bracket, which was the older group. And the younger one did better. And I was totally embarrassed that if there was no age breakdown, I would have lost.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, the young kids, they're very much like cyborgs.
Yeah. Anyway.
What are we talking about?
You know what? I want to talk about some games in these very
We pretty
few
much cannibalized
minutes.
The whole show talking about the social network.
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead. You take it away, man.
Where do I start? Okay, this is going to be like the, you know, the lightning round. Do we have a lightning sound effect?
Pew,
I don't think we do.
All right.
Pew, pew, our sound guy's like not even by the computer, man.
All right, well, maybe we'll hear some lightning one day. Mr. Driller Online, like, I finally play this game, and I'm absolutely shocked. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
Is there any actual
I'm going to guess it's the sound of thunder.
I was
going to
say, yeah, it's actually
legit.
Thunder. Okay.
Well, you can't hear lightning,
but that's
you?
The sound that lightning makes, yeah.
All right. So, this okay, I was...
Thunder does come after lightning.
I was
lightning.
In shock, okay? When this game comes up, right... The actual graphics of the game are like this letterbox, not even letterbox, like inset, blurry, washed out colors around like this border, right? This border was like, I guess, made just for Mr. Driller Online.
You think they're actually just emulating the arcade machine?
And I don't know if they're emulating, but it's just so obvious that they just took data from the old games. And the thing that makes it even worse is that this border around it is all bright and vibrant and high res. And then you're just looking at these cruddy graphics in the middle. And I'm like, like, okay, you know what? If you're going to do some fakery like that, just dispense with this border altogether because it makes the actual game look 100 times
or
worse in comparison.
At least make the border look as bad.
Or
as
right. The- at least make them look the same. Because this kind of contrast, like, this is no good. I just, like, I feel, even though I just downloaded the trial and didn't pay anything, I feel cheated.
I'm sorry that you didn't enjoy it.
I was so disappointed, because Mr. Driller is so wonderful otherwise.
Can I tell you, no, everybody talks about Mr. Driller, like, it's some great game, and then I go and play it, and every time I play it, I get really bored really fast.
Well, see, here's the thing that, the problem you have...
How many times can you press the down button?
Here's the thing, the problem you have, which a lot of... Which is the same as a problem that other people have, is that they somehow, they expect there to be more there. And so that expectation kind of like ruins it. There is actually depth to Mr. Driller, but it's in the strategy.
You said depth.
In which, you actually, you know, the path that you chart going, you know, through the blocks, right? You can actually strategically go down in a certain way because the blocks are shaped certain ways and, you know, some ways are riskier than others, right? But it takes a while of playing before you actually get that sense of, you know, what's more risky and what's less risky and what the trade-offs are. So basically, like, the first four times that you play it, you don't have any sense of any strategy, and so it just seems completely boring. So that's, and I guess that's one drawback, one failure of the game.
You know what I realized? How boring this segment would be for someone who doesn't know what the game Mr. Driller is all about.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure I've never played it and I have no idea what the game is.
That's just because you're not cool, dude.
I mean, I've heard the name, but I would never be able to tell you what the game is.
So you're a dude with a drill, and you just press the down
button.
You just go down.
Is there any similarity to Dig Dug?
No, not at all.
Not really, no.
Because that you dig through and pump things
up. But sometimes you go up and Dig Dug.
No, in this game, you're just falling down.
Because Dig Dug's cool. All
right, whatever.
Okay, I got another game, all right? Castle Shikigami 3.
That sounds terrible.
Coming out on the Wii. I think it just came out, actually.
It's on the Wii. It's got to be bad.
Can I remind you that I finally did play some more of Boom Blocks, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
And still didn't get as good as I was hoping.
Okay, but not as cool as Castle Shikigami 3.
It's fun. It's fun. And for the record, other people who don't play games a lot seem to like the game, too.
Well, that's nice.
So not me.
Okay, so check this out, right?
Castle Shikigami.
I have to rant very briefly about this EGM review, right? This is basically a straight-up shooter with really cool feature where basically...
Wait. Castle Shikigami is a shooter?
Yes. Look, just don't ask the question.
It's like an space shooter,
right? It's Japanese, right? You're a guy who's flying around.
Okay.
An actual corporeal body.
Aicho Aniki?
Continue.
Not like Cho Aniki, but yes, a body.
Okay.
With clothes on and not muscles and with hair. Okay, so... The cool part about this game is that when you fly close to bullets, right, it actually increases your score. Like, there's a multiplier. The closer you are to a bullet when you kill something, the more your score goes up, right? So there's this review in EGM that was complaining about how, well, oh, it makes the game too complicated because players, you know, who are, like, beginners can't really, you know, do that kind of dexterity.
Beginners should not be playing
it's
shooters.
It's a shooter.
No, but here's the thing, right? The guy completely misses the point that... All of this distinctive action that this game has in this way is completely optional. You can completely ignore that multiplier aspect of the game and just enjoy it on a completely more basic level, right? And it's fine. So, like, I don't know where he gets off saying that, like, what makes the game too complicated, because you don't have to play it at that level if you don't want to. In fact, most players who are beginners would probably be oblivious to that kind of sophistication.
But you know better
anyway.
Than anyone in the studio that that person just needed to get enough words onto the page to fulfill his obligation
well,
as a writer.
I mean, you said it for me.
Not like,
I just don't
is
like,
a shooter.
I just, this kind of, like, they will just complain about anything without thinking it through.
Here's all that matters. What number did they give it?
What?
Wait, what was the fun fact?
I don't remember the numbers. I don't remember.
All right, 10 seconds, guys. We got to go. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to visit GameStrata.com to learn about the GameStrata stuff, and go to ChatterboxGameShow.com as well. Thanks, everyone.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.